This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody around the world, races of all, cultists of all, religions of all, Bryce Mitchell, you're kind of included, but you know,
yeah.
don't come banging down my door, bro.
asking about your plan.
Folks, we are back. It's that other sports show, and we are back. It's going to be a particularly more normalized show. There's literally no MMA, folks. We're not gonna bring up anything. The Bryce Mitchell thing, that's all you get. That's all you get from me, at least. Jay, if Jason wants to bring up something, that's cool. But yeah, what we are gonna do is this: we are going to just us break down the Damian Lillard trade. It finally happened. The dam broke. Things were moved. Transitions were made, and now I want to talk about Dame Lillard. What happens with the Bucks? What happens with the Blazers? What happens with the Phoenix Suns? Because I believe that all three teams were made better after yesterday. Honest to God, all three teams better off in lots of different ways. We'll talk Dame Lillard trade, and then of course we have Canelo versus Charlo. Coming up, we will talk about that fight because, as everyone knows who listens to the show, Jason is a huge boxing nut, a connoisseur of the sweet science. And so we will talk Canelo, Charlo. And then, as always, you know what gets me the most hype is talking NFL, National Football League, Week 4 action coming up this weekend. We will hit it, and we will hit it hard. We will hit it fast, and then we will break on out and let you all enjoy the rest of your week. Until then, let me first introduce to you, though, my brother from another mother, Mr. Jason Valdez.
What's up, y'all? It's good to be back. We're hoping Jesse can post this same day. Not putting any pressure on him, of course, but it is Thursday. It's a little bit later in the week for us to tape this, but shit's going down. We've been busy. I was at a WWE Super Show on Sunday. Shout out to my boy Cody Rhodes for retweeting.
Check out those Twitter feed.
Over 130,000 views. Maybe that translated into a few extra listens. I don't know. I'll be at NXT this weekend, so I will be in Bakersfield at the No Mercy. I don't know if they call them pay-per-views anymore because it's on the Peacock, but I will be there. So, oh, and I'll also be at Dynamite on Wednesday for their anniversary show. So lots going on. Not a lot of combat sports to talk about, as Jesse mentioned here. I'm going to just quickly blow through the Canelo stuff. I'm going to get a jump on it. Don't see a reason to talk about the Bryce Mitchell fight. Seems like more hype and more talk has been around his bringing a Bible into the cage and trying to force prayer out of Dan Haig for Hawaii. The main event, the Fiziev fight, Fiziev was injured. No reason to talk about that. Hopefully they can reschedule that fight when Fiziev is healthy. Who knows? Fiziev in a weird part of his career right now might be in that weird gray area that the Bronx Oliveira was in before he won his title run.
It's called the trending down era.
I wouldn't say trending down yet, but I think that's a fair assessment. But I'm not ready to make it. I'll say trending right in the middle. He rocketed up, and now he's middling out.
For most of you listening right now, we don't like to push, but what Jay is doing is pushing.
Okay, well, right, Jesus, now. Thanks for holding me accountable. Fucking 5 minutes into the show, Jess. Jeez Louise, that coffee's working, isn't it?
It's kicking in.
Okay, so speaking of pushing, I will not push for this Canelo Charo fight. I'm going to spend 30 seconds on it, if even. This feels to me like sort of a mismatch. The Charo brothers, I feel, have gotten through more with hype than they have actual substance. They are great fighters, but I don't know if they are elite fighters. This is an elite fight. I know some people might consider Canelo trending down, since we're using the trending up and down already. I don't believe that. I think he is still an elite fighter. I think he also is in a weird part of his career. I'm not sure if there are any more mega fights for him. He's definitely not going down a ton of weight. And I'm not sure if a guy like Bud Crawford or someone like that is willing to go up that much, because it's like a 15, 20-pound difference. So I do think Canelo wins. I do think Canelo gets a stoppage late. I'd say somewhere in between the 10th and 12th round. So if we're looking for a little bit of combat sports juice, I would say bet the over on whatever the line is, unless it's like 11 and a half. That might be it. But if it's like 7 or 8, bet the over. Jess, any thoughts on this Charo-Canelo fight?
I still believe that Canelo is somewhat in his prime. Maybe a bit towards the end of that prime. But there's fights out there to be made. I agree with you. I don't know boxing as well as you do, but it doesn't seem like in that weight class, in that realm, seems that he's kind of cleared things out. So it's going to be difficult to find those just huge bag money fights. But you know what? We live in a day and age in combat sports where Francis Ngannou is going to fight fucking Tyson Fury. Okay. I mean, so like if you can make a freak fight with Canelo at some point in time, and I don't know if his people can break him down enough to do that. He's a very prideful guy and he loves the sport of boxing. I'm not sure if you can break him down to go fight some weird odds and ends, bare knuckle fight or something like that. But if
he's too rich. He's too rich.
He is rich. He's got to be
super rich.
I don't think that he's in the Floyd Mayweather rich department, but
he's a level below
the door, right?
I don't think that there's a fighter that's made as much money he has in the past 10 years other than Floyd Mayweather. And I think you can take any fighter from Deontay Wilder to Tyson Fury to Conor McGregor to any fighter. The past 10 years, I would bet Canelo is probably making anywhere between $10 and $30 million every year. I think that might even be a low number. I bet you if you pull those Forbes highest paid athletes, he's probably the highest paid combat sports fighter. I would say 5 of the past 10 years. I don't think Conor's made an enormous bag since his Mayweather. Who's the name that you mentioned after Canelo? Really, is it Tyson Fury? Is it Deontay Wilder?
I don't even know if Fury's really gotten the bag completely. You know what I mean? And he hasn't fought as much. That's the other thing is Canelo.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Canelo's career has been full of consecutive type fights. Like he doesn't take much time off. He's always looking for fights. And after he signed his Dazen deal, they had him lined up like every 3 fucking months. Like I swear to
that's
God, Canelo was fighting all the time. And
yep,
so
Jesse, that's a great point.
And every time Canelo fights, he makes a lot of money. So with all these different contracts, of course the mega signing he had with Dazen, and then all the fights afterwards, he was signing contracts for those and making money off that. He's made an incredible amount of money. And he's won a lot of his fights, and the majority of his fights, he still should be considered one of the top boxers of all time. And I mean that of all time, like not just his weight class and everything, but of all time. And when he's said and done, his career is going to be looked upon very, very highly by spectators and both professional boxing pundits alike.
Didn't Canelo, God, I don't have it in front of me. Didn't Canelo sign like a $75 million deal with DAZN when they were giving everybody enormous bags? When it's like, we're signing everybody. But I think they gave him like, I think they might have gave him more than 70.
It was a huge deal. I don't know the numbers, but it was a.
But
it
I'll
was
even
a...
throw another, I'll throw another dumb number at you, Jeff. Do you think he made $20 million for those Triple G fights, each one?
At least I would say I would take 25. I'm saying 25, 27 million at least.
If he made 25 each, yeah, that's 75 right there. That's pretty good coin. So yeah, Canelo, I don't see a reason for, you're not going to see Canelo in a bare knuckle fight.
No,
you're not going to see Canelo in a weird freak fight unless the bag is just too insurmountable for him to pass up. But also, you don't see Canelo doing the things that Mayweather's did, where he's got the really, really bad gambling problem on top of elaborate. And let me say this about Mayweather, and people have heard me say this before, but it's been a while since I've said it. Hey, any guy that posts his winnings on the internet has lost 9 times before he posts that one. So every time you saw Mayweather post that he won $40,000 or $50,000 on a random, Thunder game on a Wednesday night. The fucking guy took a lot of L's to get there to show you that 40 grand. Trust me, he probably lost 200 grand on his way to pick up that 40, but he's going to let you know he won that 40. All right, Jess, let's keep it moving here.
So Canelo is the classier of the two. He's not out there, you know, he's doing his thing. He's holding it down. And I'm going to go as far as to say this, and Jay, you may and probably will go against me on this one. Culturally, bro, the Mexican heritage, man, it doesn't allow for that. I don't see it in Mexican fighters, man. They don't go off like American fighters do. Like, I don't see it. I've not seen
it. I might disagree. Knowing a lot of Mexican fighters, that personally, I would disagree. They love to gamble. They love to. I mean,
but
for every Canelo,
it made so public though?
No, because they're smart. But look at what's happening with it's Ruiz, right? The heavyweight.
Yeah.
The guy that he's all of his scandal is in the news now. He's TMZ level now, where it's like all of the shit. And this is a guy that got enormous bags. He got enormous bags when he beat AJ. Anthony Joshua. So he got enormous bags for those two fights, and now it's just been kind of kicking the can around. Like, well, is he going to fight Deontay Wilder? That there's.
You know what he should do? He should take some of that money and buy himself some calves.
Well, you are on fire this morning, my friend. he's lost a lot of weight. I'll give him credit there. Now, did he lose the weight because he had a lot of money, so he was just doing like mountains of cocaine? I don't know. He's a fighter. Shit happens.
That booger shooter,
All I know is he had that like fiery Latina TikTok where his baby's mom, his wife, whoever she is, was like setting his clothes on fire and like stomping on his 5-gallon hat. Like, it was fucking all bad. It was all bad. So.
I've had my shit thrown on the front lawn before. Okay, bro.
You may have had that Angela Bassett waiting to exhale moment where your shit's all on. Everything's 50 cents.
Oh, shit.
It's either being sold at an incredible discount. Or it's just on fire.
You're coming across a yard sale. Like, damn, that looks like my hat. Shit, that's my initials.
That looks like my hat. That looks like my sweater. That looks like my Cowboys jersey. That looks like my protein. You're selling my protein? Wait a second. You've crossed the fucking line.
You can't sell my protein, bitch.
Wait a second.
bring that back.
Sell the sweatsuit? Okay. You want to sell my Dez Bryant jersey? Okay. But that protein, that Dynamitize protein, my Cocoa Puffs, my Cocoa Pebbles, give me that fucking bag. All right, Jess. Is that our combat sports moment of the
that
week?
That is. It is. I loved it. That was one of our best. That was one of our finest moments.
That was fun. All right, Jess. You've got game. I was going to hop right into NFL, but there was a little bit of a trade. You've actually got a really good take on this already, so I'm going to start, but it's going to kind of sound like I'm piggybacking off of you.
No, do it, man. So go with it.
So my initial thought when I saw this trade yesterday, I was in a car. My phone started blowing up. I sat down and really looked at this trade, and the first thing I thought was Portland won. And the reason I thought Portland won was for a few reasons. One, you get DeAndre Ayton, who I know has a bit of a bad reputation, who I know has a little bit of he's a lazy player, but I just think it was his surroundings. I think there was a lot going on, and sometimes that divorce was imminent. He had to get out of Phoenix. He had to get away from that coaching staff. He had to get out of there. So they did the right thing. Him going to a young team with a good young environment and a different training staff, I think that'll do wonders for him. Now, will it translate to him being an all-star? Will it translate to him being, you don't want to say the next Dame because that's just hyperbole, but just a great player? I think so. I think the upside is still there, and I love him all of a sudden being on a young team. Portland got pieces. They got tradable pieces, which is important. They got flippable assets, which they may not use, but they may use. They may bundle together and bring in another guy. They may bring in a vet. They may bring in someone like, I don't know, I'm just going to use a name like Harrison Barnes, where you go, okay, we've got a good crafty vet that's been on a championship team to bring in with all these young gun shooters and big DeAndre Ayton. I love what Portland did. So having a little bit of time to think about it here and scratch the surface a little bit more on it, you know, the one thing that the Suns were lacking last year when they started to fall apart was depth. And we talked about that on this show. They were hurting after that 3 or 4 spot. They were hurting, you know, when KD was having a bad game or Book was having a bad game. They just didn't have someone there to step it up. And it was never going to be DeAndre Ayton. So look, my dog's barking, annoying me again. So it was tricky. Here he goes again. I'm not even going to edit this out. I'm just going to chase my dog away. My dog's been annoying. But it was tricky because Phoenix was at that point where it's like, man, they don't necessarily need another star. They just need some get bucket guys. They just need some guys that are tough and are scrappy and will get your rebounds. They need those Lopez twin type dudes that you know can get you 18 if they need to, but they're also going to get you 12 hard rebounds. They're going to get you that offensive rebound when you need it. They're going to create space. They're going to cause havoc in the lane. You need those guys, and the Suns were just lacking that guy. They just had a lot of upper-crust guys that weren't going to put in that extra work. So they got a bunch of those guys now. So I think they got better. Milwaukee just got better because they got Dame. They got better because, and this has been said on every show, so I'm going to repeat it. It was obvious that Giannis said, hey, you guys need to do something. Giannis is a guy that doesn't talk a lot. So when Giannis is saying in interviews, hey, man, Milwaukee needs to do something. They gotta show me they want to win, because if they don't show me they want to win, well, then I'm going to fucking leave and go to somewhere that creates a winning culture. I want to be part of a winning atmosphere. He got that. He got that in Dame. Now, I think it's fair to argue that perhaps Dame's not a winner. Perhaps Dame's never really been outside of a Western Conference final. He was never truly able to get over that hump, even with his best teams. And you and I have had these conversations on this show, Jess.
Yeah.
He had some great teams, and they were never able to get over the hump. Maybe they were a victim of circumstance because those Golden State Warriors, no one was beating those teams. But he did have some great teams. They just were never able to get over the hump. Now, what happens in Milwaukee is my number one concern. Because I would assume here, right, just being a basketball head, the thought process is going to be, well, they've still got Chris Middleton, so they've still got a great middle scorer. They still got Giannis, and I'm basically going to want to go, you guys play Milwaukee Bucks basketball, and with 5 minutes left, it's Dame time. It should be that simple. It really should be that simple. That should equate to the number one seed in the East, and that should equate to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, if not representing the East. I don't know how it does it. Now, you got injuries. You got maybe for some reason they don't gel. But I just can't see that happening. And if it does happen, I'll be honest, I think it's going to be on Dame's end. Because I see Giannis as more of a free-flowing, I'm down for whatever. If I need to defer, I'll defer. You don't want me to be the guy right now? I don't want to be the guy. You want me to be Mr. Big Dick swinging? I'll be Mr. Big Dick swinging. But I got no problem deferring because all I want to do is win. I just want to win championships. So that's where you got to say, okay, well, it's going to be Dame that's going to be the guy that goes, nah, you know what? I need to be the guy. I need to have the ball in my hand every possession. I need to be the guy because I only know how to operate one way. This is how I've operated for 12 years. My 13th year, it ain't going to fucking change. That might be a divide in the sand, but I just don't see it happening. I think that it would have to be – I think there's a not even a 1 in 10 chance of that happening, but it is in play because you never know. To be pessimistic, Dame's in his 30s. He's played more than 10 years, and I'm not sure how much elite tread on that tire is still there. And that's why I think that you do the – let's let Dame play 28 minutes a game, but we want him in there those last 7-8 minutes of the fourth quarter, especially those last 20 games of the season, and especially in the playoffs. I'm interested in seeing how it works, Jess. Right now, this moment, I'm going to ask you this question, then give you the floor. Will you take the Milwaukee Bucks or the field to win the NBA championship today?
I am taking the field, or sorry, I am taking the Bucks.
Wow!
I think the Bucks.
Wow!
I think the Bucks last season were, I think we both picked them to win the championship last year. Mm-hmm. Freak shit happened. They did not win. They've been basically one of the, if not the best, one of the top three best teams in the league the last few years or so. Giannis has really hit a peak in his career, and a peak that I don't even think he's exceeded yet. I think he's just hit the highest peak of his career. He's not hit his potential peak. And getting the Damian Lillard trade thing is a big deal for him, helping him reach another level of play in the NBA. And people will say, like, well, how can a guy that good reach another level? Well, you know what? LeBron's done it. Kobe's done it. Michael's done it. Everybody has said, hey, man, this is the best basketball player in the league. And then the next year, they're like, damn, how did he get better? Well, this play, this trade, I think helped Giannis hit that next step. Excuse me. A little clim in my clip there. With Dame there, he's going to take the ball from one end of the court to the other every single time. He's going to play your Steph Curry type point guard position where he's going to have the ball. He's going to distribute, but the distribution is going to be mostly top of the key, top of the three sides. He's not going to really send the ball down low. Golden State Warriors like to flow from up top. And then if things happen inside, then things happen inside. I think this gives the Milwaukee Bucks that option because you can't leave Dame open. You can't leave Giannis open. You can't even leave Brooks Lopez open. That dude can hit threes all day too. Yep. Chris Middleton can hit threes. So you can't leave any of these dudes open. And then with that being said, they do have guys down low, like Jay Crowder loves to do the dirty work down low, and some other guys that can go down low and get the ball and put it up underneath the basket. This Milwaukee Bucks team has more of a freestyle flow to it with Dame Lillard. And I will admit that, yes, Dame is in his 30s. Yes, Dame has been in the league for over a decade.
A lot of tread on those tires, Jess.
The last 3 years, he's played better basketball than in his first seven or eight. Last year, he averaged something like 35, like six rebounds, four assists, two steals a game. That was like his average for the season.
35, Todd. I don't think it was 35, but he had a stretch where he was throwing up a 35. There's like a 2 or 3 week stretch. He was throwing up like a 40 every night.
Yeah,
I think he was closer to like a 27 or a 28. But I
this guy, the Dame has been putting up points like mad crazy, and this is with people with a couple of these Portland teams that can also score major points. He was still putting up these kind of points with guys like CJ, and then last year with Scoot, and Scoot came in as a rookie and played in, you know, as an offensive powerhouse as well. Damian Lillard can do everything on a basketball court, including rebound, and he can play some defense. Obviously, he's not the greatest defender in the world, but he can play some. He's going to shoot the lights out. And yes, when it comes clutch, he's going to be the guy that the Milwaukee Bucks look to take that last shot of the game or the last second shot of the quarter or whatever it may be. Dame time is for real for a reason. But the Milwaukee Bucks, for me, are the most complete team. And this team isn't even done. You can't sit back and tell me that this roster is not going to change before the start of the season. It's going to change again. There's going to be some pieces added or maybe traded away and then brought back in. The Milwaukee Bucks are now at the advantageous stage of the season where this major hurdle is done and over with. They got their guy, Damian Lillard, all-star, Hall of Fame basketball player. He's going to be probably in the top 50 of the greatest basketball players of all time when his time is said and done. They got their guy. So now what you do is you look at your team from the bottom half and say, who can we add or subtract? We have our top five, our top six, whatever. Let's rearrange the bottom set. So when we have to put guys back into the game and pull guys out of the game, that we know that the flow doesn't get screwed up. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to be perfectly fine. Moving on to the Portland Trailblazers, I think that they also won this trade. They won this trade. They got their guy Scoot last year. They have some other guys that are young pieces. The team was looking to move on. They was looking to get younger, and they did.
Yeah.
They trade Yusuf Nurkic to the Suns as part of that deal. Dame goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. Dame's happy, so they feel good, right? Because Portland's not trying to shame Dame, right? No reason to shame Dame at this point in time. You got to do him good. And they did him great. They sent him to one of the top three basketball teams in the league. And now they make him, the Milwaukee Bucks, basically, like, you know, championship contenders, you know, number one overall. And so Dame's happy. The city of Portland can relax. There's going to be some mourning because Dame has been such an important cog to the Portland Trailblazers and the city of Portland. But they get better. They get Drew Holiday. At first, I was really excited because I really love Drew. I do. Drew's a dog. I love that
great
guy.
Great defensive player.
You love that guy. But here's the deal. He's not sticking around. He's going to be gone by the end of the week, and the Portland Trailblazers and the Portland Trailblazers will bring in another younger player with upside potential. Drew Holiday is going to the Houston Rockets, the San Antonio Spurs. He's going to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Can I trade him for CP3 right now?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, hey, one of my buddies on my other end of my text messaging is he says, hey, man, he's probably going to end up in Boston. I mean,
we
have so many ways to go with this now. And like you said just a little bit ago, the Blazers bring in pieces that they can manage and trade. And yeah. Drew Holiday is that guy. Again, I love Drew. I really wish he could stay. But the Portland Trailblazers are so top heavy with point guards. You can't bring in a guy that's 10 years older than all the other point guards that you have on your team. So you got to get rid of him. And he's a hot commodity. He can still play high intensity basketball in this league. You trade him for some younger potential pieces. That's what's going to happen. Drew Holiday will not be a Blazer, potentially probably by the end of the week. He will be
I think
gone.
End of the week is strong, but we're so close to the opening of the
gotta get it done.
Preseason that I feel like the move's got to be made quickly. But Jess, you have some very good points that I want to jump in on and reiterate. I think that the flippable pieces are there. I think that the everyone should be looking at OKC and going, man, they're young and they're going to be incredibly talented real soon. Everyone should be looking at Sacramento and going, man, they're young and they're talented now. That should be the blueprint. I think that's what the Blazers are doing. They're going, look, we got a bunch of young pieces. We got a vet or two. If they keep Drew Holiday, I mean, they have so many guards. What's another one? But at least you've got that one vet guard that you could stick in there with 5 minutes left. And you know he's not going to make a really dumb turnover. At least you hope he doesn't. He's for the most part, going to be the vet that you want in there, making sure shit's running smoothly when there's a few minutes left in the game. But you're more than likely right, and I think you and I are on the same page. He does get traded.
Yeah.
If you trade him to Boston, man, that would be enormous. But
there's players in Boston. They got players. They got draft picks.
To jump on the Milwaukee or the field question, I would still take the field, and here's why. You know my thought process. I need guys to gel at least for one full season before I start saying, yeah, they're a championship contender. I got to have Dame and Giannis gel for a full year before I feel comfortable there. They've still got to play the Celtics in the playoffs. They've still got to play the Sixers in the playoffs. They've still got to play the Heat in the playoffs. Those are three really good teams.
Ooh, Miami's salty right now.
Yeah, boy, are they. And who knows? There's still moves for Miami to make. I don't think Miami's dead. Maybe Miami ends up with Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Could fuck around, flip Tyler Hero for Drew Holiday, some pieces, some picks, and all of a sudden Miami got better, and all of a sudden now Portland got Tyler Hero and didn't have to give up. And I guess they gave up Dame, but the long way.
Yeah.
That's a win-win. Jess, any thoughts on the Suns?
Yeah, again, I think that, like, our conversation earlier was that I said all three teams got better. Some got, existentially better, but, like, the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, like, boom to the head of the class. The Portland Trailblazers become kind of like last year's Sacramento Kings, you know, or maybe the year before. Like, the year before Sacramento Kings, where they were fun, they were exciting, but they definitely didn't win a lot of games. But they were in a lot of games, and you could see that there was potential there. So I think that that's kind of where the Portland Trailblazers head. You know, they win like 36 games, something like that. But they're fun in every
young
game.
Team's got to gel. OKC did the same thing, right?
Exactly.
OKC did the exact same thing where it's like they're losing a lot of games, but that young team is figuring it out. That's what's happening. They're a young team that's figuring it out.
My thoughts on Drew being traded, it goes a little bit further than just like the actual, like, okay, well, like, let's look at the logistics of the whole thing. You have this aged veteran who comes over from a championship caliber team. You could keep him, yes, but then there's contract negotiations. Yes, it's going to cost you a bunch of money. You just got out of a huge contract. You're trying to waiver your money a little bit. And then here's the other thing is that the day before the trade, Drew Holiday went into an interview and said, I want to be a Milwaukee Buck forever. I plan to retire as a Milwaukee Buck. And then the next day he gets traded. So he is also going to be salty. And do you really want a salty player that just came from a team that he said he wanted to retire from to a much worse basketball club? You know what I mean? And already salty about it. So you're definitely going to want to move him. And you're going to give him a little bit of hope and move him to a championship caliber team as well, like a Milwaukee, like a Miami, like a Boston, or not like Milwaukee, but you know what I mean? A Philadelphia, maybe. The Phoenix Suns, they get pieces that can come off the bench. Yusuf Nurkic. My problem with him is that he is basically, he'll put up DeAndre Ayton numbers, but he won't play as many games. Ayton will not necessarily outperform what Nurkic did for the Portland Trailblazers, but what he will do is give the Blazers more games played during the season. Ayton is healthier, longer, and plays hard throughout most of the season without missing too many games, whereas Nurkic is always constantly injured. He will also put up your 16-7 and 3 or something like that.
Nurkic needs to be stashed for the playoffs, bottom line. They need to basically put him on ice for the first 50 games of the season. And I mean this, the first 50 games of the season. You just put him on ice. You DMP him. You play him sparingly. And then those last 30 games of the year, you get him in the full rotation, you get him rolling, you get him ready for the playoffs. Because in the playoffs, you're going to need him 25 minutes a game. You're going to need him in there during those clutch minutes. You're going to need his passing. You're going to need his defense. You're going to need his high basketball IQ on those pick and rolls. He's the guy. He will add a ton of substance to that team.
Yeah, definitely.
So you are right, Jess. Everybody in this trade won. Literally everybody. I don't see the losers. And I know some people are going to argue that maybe – Portland is got the worst of the three, but I don't believe that.
To me, if I'm looking at it and I'm just a fan, I'm excited for a fan from each franchise. If I'm a fan from Phoenix, I'm like, hey man, this is a good deal. We added some strong pieces.
We got better. We needed pieces.
Nasir Little and Keon Johnson in itself, too young, up and coming with medium. They went and grabbed that nasty, crafty veteran, Grayson, hit him in the crotch, Allen, baby.
That motherfucker's going to play 12 minutes a game. He's going to play 12 minutes a game.
They get tougher. They get better on defense. They get a little bit meaner. And they bring Nurkic in, and Nurkic can score from basically anywhere on the court as long as he's healthy and feeling good that day. And the Suns don't really have a big man, so I feel like they will and should at least go try to find another center because they're not going to want Nurkic to
play. They're
going to
play small ball.
Or play small ball.
KD's, but obviously, KD's a 4 or 5.
Obviously, the main components of that team in Phoenix stayed. They're going to be there. They're going to play another full season together, which means that Phoenix, there's your gelling. They took their time last year to gel. Let's see how they play now with being together for a full entire season with some of these extras on the bench. Portland's fine. Again, possibly the lovable losers of the NBA, but they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be fun to watch some of these young players grow. And one guy to keep your eye on is, I don't know a lot about him until I researched some of him. But Tumani Kamari, mm-hmm. He came from, I believe that he finished his collegiate career in Georgia, but he's a 6'8", 220-pound small forward, and that doesn't sound very small to me in basketball terms. Means it's a guy that has some weight and strength to him, and he just got drafted this year. So you basically got multiple draft picks in this trade. So Portland, they have pieces, and then, of course, can't say enough about Damon Jonathan. Waiting to see them play together. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, the basketball does a great job of getting interesting of high-level trades right before the season. And I don't think we're done. We'll see. Time will tell. Jess, let's hop into the NBA, into the NFL. We can have another.
Here we go.
For the fun with these Dame takes, and you know, we'll jump back into the NBA as the season progresses. We'll more than likely try and reach out to some of our basketball people as well. We might reach out to, we've been saying it for a while, but our boys at Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports will figure something out here soon. Jess, as always, thelines.com, it is up. All of your favorite gambling sites are up. The first line is a little wacky. It's a Thursday night. I see one. I see 2.5. I see 1.5. I see 2. So we're going to just land at 2. Tonight, the Detroit Lions are going to Green Bay, and they are playing the Green Bay Packers. God, has Detroit been playing a lot of primetime games already? Jess, who you got?
Detroit, I think they played really well last year, surprised some people. Media went nuts with it. Was like, hey, let's put them on some primetime spots.
Your coach, and then their season.
Then Dan Campbell, baby, the hype machine. And then all of a sudden, their season has not gone as they wanted, but they're still not doing too bad. They're still looking pretty good. But here's the thing: I'm taking the Green Bay Packers. I love Green Bay. I love the Jordan Love story. This team has they have molded together. Without the presence of the maestro Aaron Rodgers, he's no longer puppeteering people, and now they have this free love, like I'm gonna roam around and play video games with you guys, quarterback, like Jordan Love, and things are working, man. Like, yeah, they're not a perfect football team by any means. They barely have any defense, and their offense takes 45 minutes before it kind of kicks into gear. But man, they just kind of make it. They just kind of get it done. And they haven't even gotten their number one wideout back, Christian Watson, who might return this week, most likely the week after. But Romeo Dubs is basically like a giant running back in a receiver's body. He's like a poor man's Deebo Samuels. I think that the head coach over there needs to use him a little bit like that. That would be smart. And then they have this kid, Jaden Reed, who no one knows. And if you're a fantasy player, go out and grab Jaden Reed, because that kid, he's been averaging like 5 catches a game for like 78 yards or something like that and like a touchdown. So the kid's been playing out of his mind. This team is young and they're fun to watch. And yes, frustrating, I'm sure, if you're a fan. But when the point is a 1 or a 2, I'm taking the home team.
Yeah. I like Green Bay. God, you know what, man? I'm going to go opposite. I was starting to talk myself into Green Bay.
I tried to pump you up, man.
And I've been really weird on the Lions, but I kind of like the Lions. This feels like a weird Thursday night game where we just get heavy doses of running the ball on both sides of offense. I like the Lions. I can understand why the points are all over the place. This feels like a 3-point win for the Lions. I just feel like the Lions are the better team right this moment. Feels like Green Bay is still trying to figure it out. I know they've had weird quarters where they've had like explosions of offense where they'll have like 10, 14 points, and then they'll have a quarter where they struggle to get first downs, move the chains. So I like Detroit. I like Detroit. I like the points. I think Detroit wins by 3. We're going to try and hammer through some of these bad games, Jess.
Baby hands golf for the win.
Hey, listen, when you're out, I'm in. So we got a lot of weird games this week, Jess. So I'm going to start with the worst.
Is this game an international game? Is that why it's at 6:30?
I'm not going to start with that game. Okay. I think that game's good. Okay. I'm going to go to the bad games. Detroit. I'm sorry, Denver. The Broncos. Your boy Sean Payton. You have been teeing off on this fucking guy all season. I know it's a short season, but I mean, I feel like Sunday night I got 2 guarantees coming on Twitter. You firing a Bills coach somewhere on the staff, and you just absolutely hammering Sean Payton, this poor fucking guy. They're a 3-point favorite, which to me is odd. They are on the road. I see 3.5, actually. So let's go with the 3.5. They are playing the Chicago Bears. You can make the argument that Chicago is the worst team in the league. I also feel like you can make the argument that the Denver Broncos are the worst team in the league. Jess, who you got?
You know what? I'm going to stick to my guns on this one. I'm going to take the home team, Chicago Bears. Go Chris, baby. Chris gets a win. Justin Fields is going to – he's going to go off. And when I mean that, I don't mean he's throwing up like 300 yards and rushing for 75 and 2 touchdowns. Like, I'm going to say, like, he actually breaks 100 yards this game, unlike last week. And then, you know, like Justin Fields is going to be put into a position where he's got certain play calls coming out. He's going to run those plays, and DJ Moore is going to have a good game. And the running backs are going to have a good game because the Denver Broncos defense is terrible and nobody wants to play in Denver anymore. They're done. I said it like a week. I said it last week.
You've been saying it all season.
Sean Payton hasn't done shit in his coaching career since Katrina, okay? That was the one thing. That was his nail. That was what he gets to hang his hat on. And yes, God bless that man. He went through that entire season with all the catastrophe and all the tragedy of Katrina, and he held that team together. And the team was like super glue for the city. Beautiful, amazing story. But we are in the league of professional sports people. What have you done for me lately? Sean, can you answer that? No, you can't, because you ain't done shit. You went to Denver thinking you were going to reinvent Russell Wilson.
Talked a lot of shit.
And you talked a lot of shit, not just to media, not just about other pundits, but you brought up your own football team. He's too old school, man. He's not a player's coach. He's not our vape coach. He's not that guy. He's an old school, gritty football coach. And yes, that works back in, you know, the early 2000s and before. Yes, that works, but we're in a new age of football. All these players are young. The greats have all retired and moved on. And the ones that are left are age veterans that don't really even touch the field anymore. And the coaching that happened to be back in that day, most of those coaches are gone too. It's a youth movement because you need to be young to keep up in sports. Sean Payton is out of touch. He's lost this locker room. Russell Wilson doesn't give two shits in the first place. And if you look back on all the Seattle drama, you start to finally put together and be like, damn, maybe Russell was the problem. The receivers hate him. His offensive line hates him. The running backs suck because the offensive line hates Russell. They don't block for nobody. Garrett Bowles, after getting blown out in a Madden rookie game by the Miami Dolphins, their best offensive lineman was interviewed crying in his locker about never winning.
That was embarrassing.
These guys, professional athletes, and Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that you'll agree, professional athletes are very emotional creatures.
Yes.
They thrive on wins, and they don't do well with loss.
Nobody does well with loss.
Nobody does, but being a professional, having a loss is worse because your whole career, everything matters in a professional athlete's career, wins and losses, right? So when one of your best players, your best offensive lineman, or is in his locker, and he is crying on camera. Not that he probably intended to do that, but camera people just happen to be everywhere these days.
Yep.
And he's sitting there being interviewed, and he goes, I've been here for 7 years, and all we've done is lose. I'm tired of losing. That's not a locker room that's happy, guys. Gals and guys out there in Denver, you're all fucking up that franchise, and somebody's got to fix it. I said earlier, you fire Sean. You bench Russ because you can't trade him. No one wants him. And you can't release him because you owe him like $100 million. So he might as well at least be on your bench.
They bet the farm and they lost.
And then you fire sell everybody of worth. And you ask them all, you know what? I apologize for this season and last season especially. Where would you like to go play? Give me your top three teams. I will make phone calls and see if I can make arrangements for you to be traded. And then you trade them for draft picks, you stockpile draft picks or aged veteran type players to come in and finish out your season. And then next year you start all over. That's what I'm doing if I'm Denver.
Yeah, this was tough. I wonder how long does Denver allow the ship to sink before, when do you stop the bleeding? Do you hope Sean turns the ship around? Do you give him another 4 games? Do you give him another 6 games? It's crazy to me how we were burying Pete Carroll 2 years ago. And we were saying, yeah, he's over the hill. He's lost his speed ball. He's lost his fastball. It's not Russ. It's him. he gets rid of Russ, that he's had this incredible resurrection, including the resurrection of Geno fucking Smith. And I said this last week, and I just want to reiterate it because, hey, listen, because we're doing a little bit of Bears talk.
Yes, we are.
You know, one thing that Justin Fields needs to learn is just throw the fucking ball away. You know what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady did better than anyone? They knew when to throw the ball away. They went, this play is dead. I'm putting this bitch in the ground. This play is dead. I'm throwing this ball at my lineman's ass. This play is dead. I'm throwing this ball into the fucking stands. Geno Smith does this so well. He's figured out, I'm going to extend this drive by just giving this ball to the dirt and fucking going to third down and getting a first down on the next play. Justin Fields has to learn this. And when he does, he'll be a little bit better. I just don't know if he'll ever be a little bit better. Jess went on an enormous tangent, and I agree. I agree with 95% of what he said. With that said, I'm still picking the Broncos this week. I like the Broncos. I like the points. This is less about the Broncos and more about the Bears. I think the Bears are in a ton of trouble. I think they are just an equal amount of trouble than Denver, if not more. If they fucked around, tanked the season, and drafted Caleb Williams next year, would anybody be surprised? I'm saying this once again with not full confidence, with some confidence. I like Denver. I like the points. I think this is the game Peyton turns it around by just grinding it out with his running backs and not turning that ball over. And not allowing the offense to score 70 points. That's easier said than done, right? I believe these teams have already played this year. I could be wrong. The Baltimore Ravens, they're a 2.5 to 3 point dog. They're headed to Cleveland. The Browns with a weird turnaround game last week and perhaps the Deshaun Watson game the Browns fans have been looking for. Jess, who you got?
I still think that I'd be looking for a little bit more out of my $250 million quarterback, but
I thought it was $300.
They did get the win. It was ugly though. It was kind of bull and shoe ugly, but they got the win, and that's wins count. We just said it, wins counts in the NFL. I like Cleveland in this game. Baltimore looks very strange. I'm not sure like what the offense is trying to accomplish. The defense doesn't look as stout as it has in past years that we remember. Baltimore is very strong defensively. Cleveland's defense is actually really good and playing really high-paced football. And if Deshaun Watson can put together yet another game, maybe we'll see a string of Deshaun Watson games where he looks a little bit more like, you know, the Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson when he was up for grabs in the MVP voting. I'm taking Cleveland. I like the points. I think it's going to be like a 3 to 6 point win. It's going to be, again, these two teams, same division, bull and shoe ugly, a lot of defense, a lot of running, and no Nick Chubb. So, but Kareem past the blunt hunt is in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Our boy, he's back. Bull and shoe ugly, first to 20 wins. Could be another. This is a 2 point game with 3 to 5 minutes left. Whoever has the ball left runs the clock out and wins on a field goal or a late touchdown. I'm all over the place this week. I think this is the third underdog. No. Jess, did you take Cleveland or Baltimore?
I took Cleveland.
Okay, I'm going the opposite again. I'm going Baltimore. Again, huh? I like Baltimore. I like the points. This is going to be a fun show. Yeah, I like Baltimore. I like the points. I don't trust Cleveland. I don't trust that Ford kid. They're going to have to grind out running the ball a ton. And I trust Lamar a little bit more in this game. I like Baltimore. I like the points. Next weird mama mid game, the LA Rams. They're traveling to Indianapolis. Is Richardson playing? I have no clue. I see one. I see 1.5. I see Pick'em by Bet Rivers. So we're going to land right at one, Jess. Who you got? The one is the home team, the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen if he's been cleared yet, if Richardson's been cleared, but Gardner Minshew didn't look bad, and and you know, you got that crafty, you know, semi-veteran type quarterback out there. He makes some plays that the rookie kid can't. And yes, the rookie kid is highly more athletic. He's probably got a higher ceiling than Gardner Minshew ever has had, but Minshew's been in the league. He's played all these NFL defenses. He knows what to expect. And he was hitting some receivers that, you know, weren't getting the ball at all this season. And then they ended up fucking around and winning last week. So I'm going to take the Colts because I think the Rams are absolutely just they're kind of a dumpster fire right now a little bit. Like they're still like manageable, but man, they're definitely leaning over the cliff and ready to fall. But I'm going to take Gardner. I think Mitch Mania is going to run wild at home. He's got some weapons. The running game is working okay without Jonathan Taylor. But I'm going to take the Colts at home.
This feels like a magic eight ball, unclear, must return later type of pick. I hate this game. I have zero interest in this game. I am once again going to go opposite of Jess. Now I'm just doing it. I swear I don't know who's going to win this game. I feel like I really like the Rams receivers right now. I have not watched enough Rams and enough Colts to say I think this team's better definitively. So I'm going to lean Rams on another hesitant pick. Wouldn't put any money on it, but I like the Rams, and the points are all over the place, so 1.5 feels about right. I can see the Rams winning this game by a field goal. Next weird, ugly bowling shoe game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're traveling to New Orleans. We got a little South-on-South action here. The New Orleans Saints, I believe, will not have our boy Derek Carr. They are a 3 to 3.5 point favorite at home. Tampa Bay, I believe, came back to earth a little bit here Monday night. Jess, who you got?
Yeah, Tampa Bay came back to earth, but, I mean, I don't know, man. You want to pick Tampa.
I hear it.
I do kind of want to pick Tampa. I do. You know what? A matter of fact, I'm going to.
Why not?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
First instinct. Don't talk yourself out. It is.
First instinct, gut feeling says Tampa Bay is going to go to New Orleans and win this football game. I believe Alvin Kamara
is playing this week.
But you're talking about a guy who only played in a handful of plays during preseason and has not played since the beginning of the season for 4 weeks. So, I mean, I'm not expecting him to take a ton of snaps. They might have to if they really – I mean, I don't know how much they want to use him, but, I mean, it would be kind of detrimental to lose him in this game, right? So, Derek Carr not playing. I'm not sure who the backup is. I don't think famous Jameis.
Is it famous Jameis?
He's
they're going to run Jameis. They're going to run Hill.
A little Taysom Hill is quarterback, mm-hmm. tight end, running back kind of.
All that.
Who's better? Tim Tebow or Taysom Hill?
I'm a Tim Tebow guy, so I'm always going to go
baby.
Tebow.
Tebow, yeah.
See that guy's arms?
Tebow, oh, yeah. He's got the guns, man. Taysom ain't got the guns like that.
No.
I Baker, I honestly don't think Baker did not play as bad as the score was.
I'm going to shred Baker right now. You're so wrong.
I think Baker, you can really see the fire in Baker this season. I'm going to give him that, and that's hard for me because I literally put Baker in his own bottom tier. So, of course, Baker looks – he looks at home in Tampa. He loves the fact that he's the number one guy in Tampa. He loves the fact that, like, there's no one looking over his shoulder in Tampa. And he's got some weapons in the running game. There's still pieces there. Like, Tampa Bay is not a good football team. Don't get me wrong. Baker is not a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But in this squad, it's like, you know, the Goonies, man. They're like the Goonies in Tampa Bay.
Never die, baby. Where
they just, like, kind of have gotten together and been like, hey, man, fuck it. If we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. Let's go out on our shields, guys. And so that's it. There's some fire with Baker.
Goonies just want to have fun, Jeff.
Just want to have fun.
Yeah, here's another game where I'm going to go against you, and I'm going against the grain. I had some juice on that Tampa Bay Eagles game, and Baker came through for me because he sucks. I saw two good drives out of Baker that entire game. One of them required Mike Evans making two exceptional catches. One of them is probably the early catch of the year. Outside of that, God, he stunk. And I know it was raining, so it's not as easy to perform as a quarterback, but I know that Eagles defense is great. So they're going to give you some fits, But I saw nothing in Tampa Bay that made me think that they're going to win, be competitive this year. I like New Orleans. I like the points. I don't care if it's famous Jameis, Taysom Hill. They're going to find a way. This is another first to 20 game, and you're going to have Kamara in there. They've got a good little – I think they've got three running backs when you add Kamara that are pretty decent guys, and they can get you some yards. So I like New Orleans just running the absolute shit out of this ball, and this is going to be like 17-13 New Orleans. I'm going to continue to try and hit these stinky games, and here's another one. The Minnesota Vikings are on the road.
I don't know why, but I knew you were going to this game.
It's just too easy. The Minnesota Vikings, they're a four and a half. We're going to land at four. They're a four-point favorite. They are on the road. They are traveling to Carolina. They are playing the rough and rugged Carolina Panthers. Jess, who you got?
Oh, shit. I can't stand you right now. Bryce Young it's not his fault, man.
I saw someone ask if he's the best quarterback in the South right now.
He's a very good quarterback, man. It just sucks that he's only like 5'5" and like I mean he doesn't just have baby hands. He's like a baby. He's like the size of a baby. Like
he's not a grown man.
Like you gotta look over the linemen and stuff. And yeah, Carolina was built to lose this season. They got their quarterback. They got rid of all their other pieces. They said, "Fuck it, we'll draft our franchise quarterback, and then we'll let everything else kind of fall into place next year." So we'll see. I like Minnesota. They still have Justin Jefferson, who I am still going to go and say is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. And they have Kirk Cousins, who is not a New York Jet yet. And yes. So that's surprising.
We got time.
We have time though. Yes, we trade deadlines far off from now. And the Vikings defense, although a lot worse than last year's defense, is still like their front four is pretty good, but their secondary kind of stinks. But there's nothing that Carolina has on offense that should scare Minnesota at all. So I'm gonna take Minnesota, and I like the points. Even if you set it at four, I like the points.
I just want, and here, by the way, for our listeners, here's the first game Jesse and I are going to agree on. I just want Adam Thielen to have that FU game where he has like 15 catches and like 190 yards and like two touchdowns. Just a real FU game to Minnesota. Yeah, I like Minnesota. I like the points. Carolina's bad. Minnesota is not as bad, but not great. I think they can score points in bunches and Carolina cannot. If this line was seven, I would still like Minnesota. I like Agreed. Minnesota. I like the points. Another stinky game, and then we'll come up to some of the sexier 10 o'clock and the 6 o'clock game. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who may or may not be rallying here under our boy Tomlin, they're a 3.5-point favorite on the road. I see 2.5 on some sites, but I'm going to stick with a 3 here. They're playing the Houston Texans. Shout out to Coach Ryans, who seems to be turning that fucking team around. Jesse, you got?
Hell yes, D'Amico was a fucking baller when he played, and he's balling as he coaches. Like, he's the guy. Like, he understands
Dude, that football. San Francisco coaching tree. That San Francisco coaching tree.
He understands the game of football inside and out. Literally, like, he's played since he was probably 5 or 6 years old, right? So he knows football. He's a hard-nosed football player. He was a hell of a defender in this league. A matter of fact, he was a hell of a defender for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And now here he is coaching the Houston Texans. And the biggest surprise for me of this season, and there's been a lot of surprises. The biggest surprise for me of the season is the quarterback play of C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud. Shout out to our boy Justin Von Doom at Justin Von Doom. His team is the Houston Texans, and CJ Stroud screams franchise quarterback. And I know that we're only going into week four. So it's, you know, we've had 3 weeks of play by our rookie, but this kid is poised. He ain't got shit to throw to yet. He finds receivers down the field. He's hitting people with accuracy and some zip on the ball. And he also is making very few mistakes. He gets rid of the ball. Jason was just talking about Justin Fields, how he needs to just just get down or throw the ball away, Justin. You don't need to make something happen when there's absolutely nothing there. Live, you know, for another down. CJ Stroud does, he makes those kind of plays. He lives for another down. He makes that next step. And the Houston Texans, they look inspired. They're playing inspired football. And that is why I am going with the upset. With the Houston Texans get the big dub at home over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. God, you know what? We're agreeing once again, Jess.
I'm
continuing with my angle of Tomlin losing seasons. I think this is he's just won close games so far, just out coaching teams. I think their offense is going to continue to struggle. And I think this is another low-scoring game that Houston can pull off by running the ball effectively and letting Stroud make a few plays, just enough plays, and don't turn that ball over. This is going to be one of those games where Pittsburgh turns the ball over two more times than Houston, and that's going to be the difference. I like Houston in an upset. Let's hop back up here to some of these sexy games, Jess. We're going to London, I believe. The Atlanta Falcons. They are a 3-point underdog. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they're failing us this year, Jess. You finally co-signed Trevor Lawrence, and he has taken that co-sign and just wiped his ass with it. Jess, 3 points across the board. London, feels like this is Jacksonville's second away from home. Who you got?
Yeah, man. Jacksonville always plays in the international games. Is Atlanta undefeated right now? Like, have they lost?
I think no, they lost. They lost.
Did they lose finally?
They lost.
I'm telling you, they're like a surprise team because I literally have them in my bottom five teams in the NFL.
I still do too. I still don't trust that Ridder kid.
I don't trust Ridder for anything. The guy averages like 125 yards passing a game or something. It's great. Anyway, I'm taking Jacksonville. I think this is a tremendous way to bounce back from some very shitty football the Jacksonville Jaguars have been playing. And by going to London and stomping the shit out of the Atlanta Falcons, I think this is a great bounce back game. Trevor Lawrence is going to look good. He's going to throw for like 310, 315, a couple tutties. Travis Etienne is going to catch a tutty out of the backfield. Calvin Ridley, bounce back game. Zay Jones, bounce back game. Some bounce back game overall. Jacksonville wins and covers.
Yeah, easy money for Jacksonville. Again, they're used to playing out of the country. This is out of the norm for Atlanta. Atlanta just happy to be her game. I think the three is low. This feels like a touchdown game easily to me. And I wouldn't be surprised if this gets away from Atlanta and this ends up being like a 14, 17-point blowout. I love Jacksonville. I love the points, and I am not giving up on Jacksonville yet. But I've got the white flag in my hand. I'm not waving it yet, but it is in my hand. It's time for a little Bills Mafia corner. And dude, I am fucking shocked looking at this. The Buffalo Bills are a 2.5 to 3-point favorite at home versus the Miami Dolphins. I think every television sports analyst has the Miami Dolphins dick and balls fully in their mouth right now. And rightfully so. I might have a little bit in my mouth as well. Jess, who you got?
I honestly think the Miami Dolphins are like coming up on like one of those weird, like you love to hate them because you love them a little bit teams. Like, God,
they're a rival, but they're hard to hate.
I want to punch Mike Daniels square in his four-eyed face, but then I want to pick him up and go buy him a beer, but I know he'd make me like he'd want a cider instead.
Yeah, he's an IPA guy.
Cider. And then he'd be like, hey man, he'd be like, I gotta go outside and vape real quick. Is that cool? Okay, I'm gonna jump out. I'm gonna bounce out real quick and go vape. And I'd be like, all right, man, be out there vaping for a few minutes, come back in smelling like orange and cloves or something.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on, man. They put up Madden points. It was like if you took a Madden game, you put it on rookie, and you took the Kansas City Chiefs and you played the Carolina Panthers on rookie, and you basically put up as many points as you wanted, and you had to stop putting up points because you were putting up too many points. That's what happened to the Miami Dolphins when they played the Denver Broncos, and also why Jay and I were so hard on the Broncos, even though he picked them to win this week. The Miami Dolphins have the most explosive offense in the league. The defense ain't half bad. Their head coach puts Tua into these positions that of just phenomenal importance on the field. He doesn't. He's. I don't know what he's doing as far as the playbook, but Daniels is. He's making it to where everything Tua has is like a three-step drop and release. Like there's no waiting. There's everything's timing.
This is how you avoid him getting hit and getting
concussed. Well, everybody remembers what happened last season. We had like what three concussion protocol times for Tua, and so you got to protect the kid. And Mike is doing it. He's protecting his franchise quarterback. He's doing three-step drop and release. And when you have receivers like Hill and Waddle and all these other guys, and I mean even Braxton Berrios is a pretty quick, older, you know, shifty cat. So
yeah, he's got speed.
So you have speed all over the field. Your rookie running back, Devon Achane, simply runs out. I think he only had like 16 rushes. He had over 200 yards. And the guy at one point in time was clocked at running at 21 miles an hour.
It really was unbelievable.
These guys are fast. But here's the caveat. The Buffalo Bills defense is, for me personally, and I'm super biased, I believe the Buffalo Bills defense is playing the best defense in the NFL.
Ooh.
Right now, I know that the competition has not been great, right? But what we're doing is still putting the brakes to the competition regardless. We had 9 sacks on Sam Howell last week. We had 4 takeaways or 4 picks. We had multiple takeaways because of fumbles caused and picked up. The defense is playing really well. The defense has allowed the least amount of points in the league, least amount of touchdowns in the league through 3 weeks of football. It's going to be who breaks first. And I am taking the Buffalo Bills over the Miami Dolphins, and I'm taking the points. And no, I don't think it's going to be a blowout in Buffalo. And that's the other thing. It is in Buffalo. So Bills Mafia is going to be strong. And I'm going to take Buffalo by the points. I don't think it's going to be huge. I don't think it's going to be like 10-point win. But I'm taking the Bills at home and the points.
Man, I'm going to disagree.
I
like Miami. They're steamrolling right now. I love what the Bills defense is doing, but I really like Miami right now, and I love the points. And I'm torn on this one, Jess. I just have a difficult time picking against a team that I just saw score 70 points. So I'm going Miami, and I like the points. I do believe this is going to be a little bit more of a heavyweight battle. I think this is gonna be our Fury versus Ngannou, and we might get something like a 27-23. Miami sneaks out the back with a win.
It is not gonna be a blowout by anybody who wins this game. It's not gonna be a blowout. It's gonna be like maybe 10 points at most. And here's the thing: obviously, Buffalo lost that weird game to the Jets in Week 1. The Miami Dolphins squeaked out a win in Week 1 against the Chargers. They almost got beat by the New England Patriots. And here's how you beat Tua. This is how the Patriots did it. The Patriots realistically set the blueprint. You get into his face. You knock him down. You push him around. You physically bully Tua. And he makes mistakes. He makes bad throws. It's the same with any quarterback, right? You get in their face. You push them around a little bit. They make bad throws. Tua is a smaller guy. He needs that timing to be better than all the other quarterbacks. If you can disrupt that timing, get hands up. You got those big, long arms like guys like AJ Epenesa over there in Buffalo going to be putting his arms up, trying to knock passes down. And the most important thing is you have to make the tackle on contact if you're the Buffalo Bills. You can't let Tyreek Hill catch the pass and then run for 80 fucking yards. When he catches the pass, you got to take him down right away. Those are going to be keys. If Buffalo can do that, they pull out the win.
I don't know if this is sexy or not, but it made it to the sexy list. The Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals are 2.5-point favorite across the board. They're traveling to Tennessee. Tennessee's been playing some tough defense. Jess, who you got?
This game is not sexy.
No?
Joe Burrow's been playing hurt. Everybody knows it by now. Everybody's talked about it. Joe Burrow still plans on playing in this game. I don't understand how a quarterback can heal up and be 100% if they continue to fucking play on that bad calf. Like, he can't heal up.
I agree with you a million percent.
This team is doing him – they're doing their franchise a disservice. You just get done paying this guy like the most money any quarterback's ever made in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, and then you continuously play him on a bad wheel. Makes absolutely no sense. If you sit Burrow, you play whoever the hell is on the backup. If it has to be Mixon, then play Mixon the quarterback. No one cares because you're not really winning football games without Joe Burrow anyway. And obviously you can't win games with Joe Burrow.
Ooh, Jess, can you hear me? I'm losing healthy. You.
No, I'm here.
Jess, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I lost for a second, but go ahead.
Okay. So in this game though, I think Cincinnati, they'll get the running game going. Tennessee's offensive line is terrible. Derrick Henry is having the worst start to his career in quite some time. And it's because Tennessee has no offensive line, and their defense ain't been really doing a whole lot either. So I think the Bengals will be able to squeak out a win. The 2.5 on the road, I'll take the 2.5. I think it'll probably be like, 6-point win, 9-point win. I'm going with Bengals.
Bengals struggled offensively that Monday night. And I know it has a lot to do with Burrow. And I know we got a heavy dose of Mixon. So maybe we just get that Mixon versus Tennessee's big hoss, Henry running back, 20 carries each game, 20 touches each. I'm going gut instinct here with you as well. I just lost the lines. Where the hell did they go? I'm going Bengals, and I'm going the points. I don't love it, but I'm going with it. All right, Jess, I believe – oh, we got another 10 o'clock game that I'm missing. This is not sexy. I don't know why I left this on the list. Maybe it's because it's the Eagles.
Probably.
The Washington football team, 8.5. I don't see a 9, so we'll keep it at 8.5. 8.5-point dog. They are traveling to Philly. Who you got, Jess?
I've got the Eagles, man. I think the Eagles have not really truly been tested yet, and they're doing what good football teams should do, is beat all the bad teams. And that's what they're doing. They're beating all the bad teams. Washington is not a phenomenal team by any means. They have talent. I definitely picked them to have a decent season this year. But the Eagles are the Eagles, man. They're a tough football team. Just went to a Super Bowl. It's going to be hard to beat them in the regular season. Jalen Hurts hasn't even had like a breakout game yet. You know what I mean? DeAndre Swift has had multiple breakout games. But I'm taking the Eagles. And you could put the points at 16. I'm taking those.
See, it's so crazy to me that there were so many people that were like, Washington's going to be good. Washington may be that team that replaces New York in this NFC East bump. I think that that's a fair argument, but I just can't see people saying that Washington's good. At the end of the day, we talk about this all the time, Jess. It kind of starts and ends with your quarterback. And you're running Sam Howell out there, dude. You can't expect to win a lot of games. I like the Eagles. I like the points. All right, so does that wrap up our 10 o'clock games?
Yeah, man.
All right, 10 o'clock games. We're on to the 1 o'clock. Let's try and rifle right through these, Jess.
All right, let's do this.
The Las Vegas Raiders, they are a 5.5-point dog across the board. Jimmy G looks like he stinks. I don't believe he's playing. I hope AOC starts this game. With that said, I still don't think I'm picking him. 5.5 points. Favorite across the board of the Los Angeles Chargers. Jess, who you got?
I'm taking the Chargers at home, but I'm not taking the points. I'm looking at like a field goal game. I think the Raiders, whether Jimmy G comes in and plays at 80% or AOC comes in and plays his first game as a starting quarterback, I think the Raiders find a way to chug and plug Josh Jacobs and just kind of run, and keep this game close. Chargers win, Raiders cover.
Chargers have been trying to find ways to lose games, including last week against the Lions. I don't like the Chargers. I think that they are quietly an incredibly stinky team that has a lot of incredibly great players that just aren't being put in the most opportune positions. I'm going upset special here, Jess, just because I don't like the Chargers. I like the Raiders, and I like the points. I kind of want to go Chargers win, Raiders cover, but I don't. I think Raiders win. I like the Raiders to win this game.
Nice, I like it.
Didn't
Mike Williams? He's out for the season too, right?
He is out for the season. If it ain't him, it's Keenan Allen. One of those guys has never played. the New England Patriots, the Zeke returns home game. They are traveling to Dallas. Dallas is a 6.5. I see 7 on some sides, but we're going to stick with the 6.5, Jess. Just let me down. We are going to get some pessimistic Jason on this.
Yeah, I need to hear something.
It's coming. Who you got?
I got the Cowboys. They're at home. And the Patriots are going to hang tough because both teams have really good defenses. The Cowboys have a top one, a top two, three at worst defense in the league. But the Patriots have a very, very solid defense. Like they're gonna hold up a lot of stuff in Dallas. Dallas wins. Dallas covers. But don't look for it to be like a huge blowout unless it gets away from New England late.
Yeah, it's weird. Belichick doesn't really get blown out much. I know he's had some. I know this year's been a different year, and so that's why I feel like the 6 might be low, just because I think Dallas just has more talent across the field. But I'm going to talk myself into it. I'm going to go Dallas. I'm going to take the points. I feel like this is a 9 or a 10 point game.
Yeah.
I can't see New England going down 10 or 14 and being able to make that run back. I don't see them with the offensive pieces to go, oh, okay, they're doing this or doing that. They can score. They got instant offense. They don't got – Matt Jones is not instant offense. They don't have receivers that are instant offense. I like Dallas. I like the points. Pessimistic Jay checking in. Hate what I saw last Sunday. Felt like the same old Cowboys. Red zone issues. Could not stop the run. Those are two things that have hurt Dallas the last 3 years in the playoffs and in close games. They could not score in the red zone. They can move the chains. They can put up a lot of offense. But that doesn't always necessarily equate to touchdowns. And this is a touchdown, not a field goal league. I like Dallas. I am a little bit pessimistic. I'm okay with knocking them down a peg with regards to if you're doing your Power Five, if you want to knock them out. I think that's fair. You can't lose to bad teams and expect people to still rank you as an elite team.
What's ridiculous about Dallas is good. They had like 400 yards of fucking offense.
Yeah, and a bunch of field goals.
They had like 200 yards of running, like between Pollard and Deuce Vaughn, and then they have another kid that's out there running the ball too.
I can't remember his name either.
Dak had a good game. Like he was very, very efficient. Didn't turn the ball over, And then you get down to the red zone stuff, and that's a totally different story. But a lot of teams have red zone issues. It's just super weird to see a team lose when you put up that many yards in a football game, and you just look like the dominant football team. Dallas will be back this week. They'll definitely beat the Patriots.
All right, let's go to our next game here. Bear with me while I pull it up. All right, 1 o'clock game. Oof, this is the biggest line of the week. 14 yeah. points across the board. The Arizona Cardinals traveling to San Francisco. San Francisco is at home. Jess, who you got?
The Cardinals just beat the Cowboys, and then you put them as 14-point dogs to the Niners. Come on, guys. Give them a little bit of credit. I like the Niners at home, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think the points are covered. I think the Cards stay within that 14-point rule. I see 9-10, point game. The Cardinals are sneaky. Weirdly good. I don't know how to I hate using the word good with the Cardinals because I know they're not, but like I don't know how to express my feelings on the Cardinals. They don't look to me like a team that is like attempting to tank football. Like they look like a football team that wants to fucking win games. And last week prove that, like they go in there and they beat Dallas. And even in the games that they've lost, they've kept very close. They've been close games. They're not losing by a lot of points. This team, they're not trying to lose on purpose. This is a football team that's fired up and trying to play football. And they have a lot of deficiency in that locker room as far as talent is concerned. But for whatever reason, they are playing weirdly good football. They'll keep it close. Niners win.
Yeah, I believe their first game was against Washington. They were competitive in that game for about three quarters before they lost. They were up big against the Giants before they lost that lead. And they handled the Cowboys pretty much wire to wire. They will not be able to run against the Niners with the success that they ran against the Cowboys, because the Niners' interior is just way different. They got bigger hosses that are there to slow down those running backs. The 14's high, and I don't and I will take the 14, but I don't love it. But I can also see a scenario where it gets away from the Cardinals and they just never recover, and we end up getting something like 20-6, which would get you your 14. So we'll stay there. Like the Niners, like the points, don't love the points. Two games left here, Jess, and then we're out of here. The Kansas, is this double Monday night or one? Okay, good. Thank God no double Monday night. NFL, fucking stop doing that.
Please stop doing that.
Sunday night, I will be watching AEW Wrestle Dream, but the Kansas City Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite on the road. They will have the Swifties, and they will be in New York. They're playing the Jets. Who you got?
Man, this Taylor Swift stuff is wild. I got the Chiefs, man. Give me the Chiefs. Give me the points. The Jets are terrible. Zach Wilson is he possibly belongs in the Baker tier. So, no, I take that back. He does belong in the Baker tier. Yes. Matter of fact, I might create a Zach Wilson tier.
Wow.
That's below Baker.
This is the breaking news that we've all been looking for.
Yeah, there's potential for a brand new lower tier called the Zach Wilson tier.
I like Kansas City. I like the points. I want to say I love the points. This is going to be the same New Jersey, New York Jets that we've seen the past few weeks. They're on offense. They're going to struggle mightily on offense. And Kansas City is just going to have too many opportunities. I like Kansas City, and I love the points. I would not be surprised if we see Trevor Siemian in this game at some point late in the fourth quarter, but we shall see. Last game, Jess. Seahawks, Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, my boy DJ Metcalf. They are traveling to New York. The Giants are a 1 to 1.5.
Ridiculous.
At home. This is... it's the home point thing. Maybe it's the West traveling to East. Maybe it's because Monday night. I could make a bunch of excuses for this line.
I don't know what this line is all about. I got Seattle, man. New York's a mess. I mean, right now we could go down and list like over half the league. I think this is kind of a mess. There's like a lot of messy teams right now. And I know it's only week four. So we've only seen 3 weeks of football. But the New York Giants are a big mess. Saquon Barkley needs to hurry up and heal up and come back from his ankle injury. And then they also need to do something with Daniel Jones. They need to create a playbook that fits Daniel Jones' strengths. I don't know what those strengths are yet, but I know that last year, even Jason was saying, hey, this guy ain't that bad. And now this year's happened, and he looks even worse, and he looks worse than bad. So they got to do something with that. Seattle wins, Seattle covers.
Yeah, no Saquon, and Daniel Jones is going to have the same issues he's been having this season. It's a lot of running around with his chicken with his head cut off syndrome. Seattle's defense is quietly good, and Geno makes plays. They've got a Seattle once again with a double-headed running back. The running game gives New York fits, and they're going to be able to run easily for over 150 yards with those two studs. I like Seattle. I like the points. Jess, we have made it to the end. I want to shout out our boys at Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports. I want to shout out our boy, Smash Squad MMA. I want to shout out our boy, Che Rollins, before we get out of here. Jess, any shout outs before we get out of here?
Got to shout out Justin Von Doom. We gave CJ Stroud some props, so shout out to Justin. Shout out to Chris again, because we love you, Chris. You're far away from us. I believe you're in Texas now. But we miss you. We got to get some of these guys back on the show. And, of course, as always, please follow Variety Sports Network. They are a team of podcasts that also help support us in our podcast as well. So please follow them at Twitter at @Variety_Sports_. You can also follow our podcast at Team Toss 21 on the X. And you can follow Jason and I. Jay goes as Valdez spelled backwards, 559. I go JTT81 on the X. I love calling it the X. Makes me feel like a, you know, like we're a man of mystery or somewhere on X, baby. That's it for me. Enjoy the rest of your guys' week. Peace.